What's good, world? I'm Justin Miller, host and owner of Legends of Athletics, and this is another great Legends of Athletics podcast. Before we get into it, of course, y'all know I got to thank you for the likes, shares, comments, ratings that you guys have given this podcast, helping us move up the rankings on Apple Podcasts as well as on Spotify. And you guys are great. If you have not gotten a chance, go and follow Legends of Athletics across all social media platforms, and we would be more than excited and grateful for your support. And go to legendsofathletics.com, click on the store link, and purchase some Legends of Athletics merch. It's some cool stuff that we have there from people that have worked hard to help us design it and get it out to you guys. Again, that is legendsofathletics.com, and man, purchase some. Legends of Athletics is a brand. It's not just the title of a show. But it is a bigger brand than you guys may hear or see. And so we thank you for your support. As we have been in the swing of things, we have definitely seen the support, and we will not be stopping that train. We're definitely improving on our content, improving on a lot of scaling a lot of things that we've been doing here in the past, and just trying to be better at them as we go and get ready to head into this new year. And of course, heading into the new year, I know a lot of people are making goals. One thing that I just add as a little nugget is to make sure those goals are realistic and to execute those goals with ruthless intention, and make sure that you are staying on task. Make those things tangible. And I promise you can reach the stars for whatever you have set before yourself. So this podcast is going to delve into being a great coach, being a great leader. What does that entail, and what are some of the characteristics of carrying out greatness within the ranks of coaching and leadership? And so I'm not a big believer in filibusting a lot before getting into the podcast. I kind of like to just go ahead and give the spiel of the housekeeping beforehand and then jump right into the meat of the podcast on the back end. That way we're all locked and loaded and ready for whatever we have set before ourselves. So the first thing is, man, you know, of course, I tell y'all all the time is that, you know, I get inspiration from a multitude of things, whether it be conversation, whether it be a post, a video, whatever it is, I get inspiration for podcasts on a multitude of things. And so this week, you know, one thing that I do as a coach is I like to not only study training techniques, I like to study the psychology of the game. I like to study many nuances, even in business and things like that, because you forever have to be a student. If you want to be great, you have to be a student first. And no great leader is a great leader without following. If we want to look at examples of those, then you look at Michael Jordan before Phil Jackson got there. You look at Kobe Bryant under Phil Jackson, and you look at different athletes, great athletes, and who they were before they were able to get exceptional coaching and accept that exceptional coaching. I think about even Mike Tyson. I think about Muhammad Ali and things like that. And how much coaching really can elevate a player from A to point B to point C, and so on and so forth. And so one thing that I have noticed within the world of sports performance today is, as it's a growing field, sports performance itself is about 50 years old, so it's still a relatively young career path to choose. But one thing that I've noticed more and more as I've been in this field is, of course, we got people who specialize. And I talked about a little bit about this last week in the podcast with Coach Hunter Lakey. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, please go back and listen to that right now. But one of the things that we talked about is like coaches who specialize in just strength and conditioning. Coaches who, or we alluded to that, and then coaches who just work on footwork. And there are a lot of people that have named or put themselves under the umbrella of sports performance who are not truly embodying what a sports performance coach is. A sports performance coach is a coach who develops the athlete in as many and all arenas as they can see fit. So that goes from performance to the psychology to adaptations, so forth, injury prevention, so forth and so on. And so with that, I think the first thing, in order to be a great coach, you have to be a student of the game. You have to be a student of the craft. It's the same thing to be a great leader. You have to be a student of whatever it is that you're trying to invoke or provoke human performance in to go beyond themselves. You have to be a student. Being a student requires that you not only study the material that was gone over in class, but you study the material in depth to truly understand it at the root of it. One thing that I do as a performance coach and what we do in this business, the thing that I do that I've done for a while is kids that I train, I like to watch them in their environment, whether that be at practice or that be in the game. I like to go and watch those kids perform in the environment amongst their teammates, amongst their coaches, and things like that. This is the reason why. This is the reason why. Because many times I found in training that the way a kid is around you is not the same kid in a lot of situations, not all, as they are around their team, their teammates, and coaches, and even parents. Gilbert Arenas alluded to this point in a clip that I saw of him where he was talking about, you know, you got the look kids. And so these kids are the kids who make a play, look to the sideline, make a mistake, look to the sideline. And so with that, that kid is conditioned to get task reward, instant approval or disapproval, and adjust from that. That is an affects the player, I would say, more so in a negative way than a positive way. This is why I say that. Because this kid now is operating on a system of proving and making my coach happy, which you need to do, and making my parents happy, making my teammates happy, but not being free within themselves to be themselves as an athlete completely. And so that is one of the reasons that I go and study the player in their atmosphere, in the games and things like that. Because whenever I get a student athlete, professional athlete, whatever, one thing that I may get is we go during our initial assessment, we go over a series of questions and I may say, well, what are your goals? This is what I see on film, things like that. Film's going to tell me a lot. What you tell me as far as goals, we're going to go for those as well. But there are certain details and nuances that we are able to see whenever we are able to see the athlete in their environment. It also makes me a better trainer when I'm able to go and attend practices in sports that I may not be as versed in, when I'm able to talk to coaches and ask them what they're seeing, when I'm able to ask what the player's role is within the team, things like that. Those things make all of us better. And I think a lot of times today we get caught up And as far as sports performance, I can use that for an example. We get so caught up in the drills and execution of the drills that we forget the player, we forget the team, we forget how is this going to make this player better for the team, how is it going to make this player better to be seen, and how is this going to make give the coach a better athlete whenever they resume school, resume their season, or come into the season, what have you, depending on where you are in the season whenever you get this player. And so it's the same thing in leadership. A lot of times you see a lot of people that are self-proclaimed gurus today in business. People who go out, they get the latest and greatest tie, a great button-down shirt, a nice suit, and then they start selling online courses with no proof behind those things. And so that's one of the things I say is, like, you have to, if you're able to go out and see the game, then you're able to recognize flaws in games, and you're able to recognize flaws amongst competition. You're able to recognize flaws amongst people who are trying to sell you snake oil and things like that. And that's the number one thing that I say as far as being a great leader, being a great coach, is you have to study the game. Number two is you have to find a way to be part of the game. And so I alluded to this point just a few minutes ago is, you know, you have to talk to coaches and talk to business leaders that are above you in a humble way in order to learn more. One thing that the first sport, whenever I got out of school and I got into the sports performance and I was doing my thing, at that time, under a year within the training game. And this was before training really got big on Instagram like it is. Because you got to think, like, Instagram was just still pictures. Twitter was still kind of, like, social. We didn't have any TikTok then. This is 9 years ago. Facebook, and on Facebook, people mostly just created groups for their fans or created a business page. And you kind of just let the thing sit there and die off. But you didn't really engage a lot in it. So and on YouTube, fitness was relatively new. And sports performance on YouTube at that time was almost next to nothing, because there weren't many people doing it, and the people that were doing it may put up like 30 to 100 videos roughly, and then the page just kind of dies off. And so the second thing is you have to insert yourself into the game and learn from the game and learn from those who are above you in the game. I can say that the first sport that I ever coached was or helped assist coach and learn how to be a trainer was basketball. I never played basketball in high school. I am not 6 foot. I am not a great, can't really dribble a ball. And I know the basics as far as like layups, shots, things like that. And so I gathered a couple of kids within the basketball arena and began to train. And that forced me to really hone in on more details, because I played football, and so it wasn't an area that I was comfortable in. So I had to learn more of the details and soak up as much knowledge as I could from other sources. And thankfully, it worked out for me. And every kid that I've had since then, I'm not saying it's a big pool, but the kids I've had since then in my 9 years of training that I have trained in the area of basketball have gone on to sign collegiate level scholarships and play basketball. And so with that, you know, I was able to learn more of what went into practice. What are these guys? What are the demands on the body of the sport on the body? What is the injury profile of this game and things like that? And so, you know, even getting the coach to believe in systems, getting the coach to believe in the training systems that we had, how we were going to go about things, it just made me better overall. And so that was something that I was able to even be a trailblazer at that time at Tupelo High School in the area of basketball to open a door for other people. I know now they even got another coach that came in and done that when I left and went on to do my thing. But, you know, it's understanding the game. If I didn't go to practices, that wasn't assistant coaching on the team, I wouldn't understand why it's kind of at a disadvantage for a basketball athlete to be doing max jumps every day, why we shouldn't be doing high impact plyometrics daily. And that made me a better coach. And so I say the same thing with leadership. When I was in year one, year two, year three of business, I wasn't nearly as savvy or polished as I am today in year nine. And it just comes with time, right? Even today, there's a multitude of things I'm still learning. But I can say even today, it just comes with time. Like when I was younger, year two, year three, I started doing apparel then. And we were selling shirts. We had one design, we had three color waves of the shirt, one design, and two different styles. We had a tank top. And we had the basic crew neck style of the shirt. And we did very, very well. I was a solopreneur at that time. I did very, very well with it. Able to do pre-sales, get the money generated and the revenue generated to start having inventory and stock to sell the shirt out of my house or mail the shirts off. So we did very, very well at that time. But the thing was with that is, you know, even though I was making money and things like that, I was a horrible leader because of immaturity, lack of patience, lack of understanding and wisdom, and just having to learn the game as I go along. And so that's where I was a great trainer, but I wasn't a good leader. And so, again, you see the holes in your game. And I hope you guys are following me in this podcast. You see the holes in your game. and you see where you should be a student under someone. That's why so many times when people come out with doing anything, you can get into very dangerous and murky waters if you don't have a mentor. Because if you just are a self-proclaimed great leader and you've never been tasked at little tasks or small leadership roles, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes even as a seasoned leader, but you won't know how to combat those mistakes and things like that because you don't have anybody to turn to. And I know so many times when people start businesses or go into entrepreneurship, that's one of the main things that they say is like, I want to be my own boss. I want to do my own thing. But you haven't paid costs in any arena to acquire the skills and the skill sets to make you a great leader. And so that's the second thing. So thing number one is, you know, in order to be a great coach, you have to be a student of the game. Then you have to study the game, insert yourself in the game to study the game. And then the third thing I will say is what I've been saying this whole time is forever be a student. The moment that we get to a point where we feel like there's nothing else to learn, there's nothing else to innovate, there's nothing else to create, that's where we begin to lose and we begin to fail. It's very imperative that you always find some new crack, new seal, a new way to go about things in order to stay innovative. Because the time that we're in today in 2023 is very much a thing about innovation, creativity, being on the side. Most people want you to be on the side. You know, it's really no such thing as a gray area anymore. So you have to be absolute on the side and, you know, just believe in what you're doing because it's a very saturated market. Most markets today went from sports performance to fitness to apparel are very oversaturated because of the resources and technologies that we have today. Many people are able to go out. The cost of entry is very low and do a lot of things. And so you have to be forever a student. I was just talking to my wife about this, I think yesterday or sometime last week. Back in the day, and I talked about this earlier in this podcast, back in the day, whenever I was first getting on YouTube, and I wish I would have, she always said the same thing, is like, man, I wish I would have been doing YouTube and really took it serious 9 years ago. But like back in the day with YouTube and a lot of these things like that, basically, if you could get on there, be a decent video editor, create something aesthetically pleasing to the eye, you were able to generate a following and a crowd from that alone. It really wasn't about, you know, what you're saying, how you're saying it, your delivery, things like that, your editing skills. It was just really like something just a little bit creative as far as aesthetically pleasing. And you go from there. And so as it's gotten along today, it's got to be exceptionally well edited. And you have to be creative, but you also have to deal with and learn algorithms. Most of the social media platforms today are algorithm based. And so with that, that just creates a new wrinkle in the game. And so for some of us, you may have to hire a younger person who is a social media master, or you may have to get somebody who's like, they just know social media, like this is what they do full time, in order to get some positivity and some positive things generated on your social media side of things. And so that's something that 5-10 years ago, most businesses were not looking at. They weren't looking at, well, what's my social media marketing look like? What's my social media handles look like? And things like that. It's kind of just like, well, you know, we have a business, we brick and mortar, we throw it up there, that's enough. We have an online store, that's good enough. But now you have to have some sort of social media proof. You have to have some sort of social media presence in order to help generate and drive in new forms of customers, revenue, and things like that. And again, it goes back to that thing I was saying with innovation. You have to forever be a student of the game. You have to forever study the game. And you have to be just excited about the game. I watch a lot of YouTube. And so this thing I was watching the other day, for anybody that loves rap, you probably will know what I'm talking about. But Andre 3000 had a much anticipated album that came out maybe a month or so ago at this point of the recording of this podcast. And he had an album that came out. And basically on this album, instead of him rapping, he played his flute. And so a lot of people are like, you know, I've seen mixed reviews on it. Some people say it's cool. Some people say it's not cool. This, that, and third. And make a long story short, Lil Wayne, who's been rapping, I think he's been rapping probably for 30 plus years at this point, he had something to say. And from one great to another great, and they kind of came up in the same era, it carried weight to it. And when Andre 3000 in one interview said that he basically didn't rap on the album because at 40 plus years old, he has nothing to rap about. And Lil Wayne said that was probably one of the saddest, and I'm not quoting this verbatim, but in so many words, probably one of the saddest, saddest quotes that he's ever heard from a fellow rapper. And so I thought about that, and I was like, man, you know, I think about that from the standpoint of being innovative and kind of being a chameleon as you get older with time. The game that I'm in with sports training, you get better over time, but like with being hot, it happens, but it takes work, and then that's like, it's not lived forever. And so you have to just continue to innovate and like be a chameleon of the times. And so I thought about it like this, right? It's like year 10, there's been, well, year 9, I'm about to roll into 10 in about 6 months. With that, it's been times where I've been like, man, you know, this is not like fun or, you know, I'm not as excited about it and things like that. But I've always been ingrained with it, such to the point that, you know, like even today, I still play adult sports. Rec sports. I ain't playing professionally, but adult rec sports, and still, you know, keep myself involved in the game because it's something that I just enjoy doing. And like, I just couldn't imagine myself getting to a point. Of course, I'm not 40 yet, but you know, I'm about to approach 34. But you know, I just couldn't imagine getting to a point where I say, man, you know, I don't have anything to train for, and that just goes back to where. And, you know, I'm not saying anything is wrong with that statement. I mean, if that's where you're at, that's where you're at. But, you know, what I'm saying is to you guys, being a great coach, a great leader, is you always want to make sure that you're being innovative. You know, there's so many businesses that fail and crumble daily just due to lack of innovation. You know, not wanting to be with the times. Just because you're with the times does not mean you lose the root and substance of what made you who you are. It just means that you keep yourself relevant. You keep the recipe the same, but you add things to stay relevant within the game, if that makes any sense. And so, you know, I don't want you guys to get stagnant in what you do every single day. I don't want you guys to get very mundane to where you say, well, I you know, I really don't have anything. You know, I don't have anything with the younger generation or the younger kids and things like that. But you have to stay innovative, and you have to stay very aware and cognizant, and just learn how to adapt in the game. One of my old bosses, he had a statement where he said, adapt or die is what his thing was. But I just say, adapt and adjust is one thing that I always say. Adapt and adjust. I say it to kids that I train whenever they play their sports or the games. And I say it to myself as well, you know, within business, is adapt and adjust, because it's just like I told y'all with the evolution of social media just 10 years ago. 10 years from now, it's going to be another evolution. And you just have to keep adapting. The day you stop adapting, the day you stop learning, the day you stop being part of the game, whatever industry that you're in, it's the day that you subsequently, you know, take your last breath in it and transition on. And so I hope that this podcast helped you guys. It wasn't one that was full of craziness, but this was one that I felt like was very near and dear to me, and one that spoke volumes to me, like I said, in the midst of my studying and being inspired on what I was going to do. I know over the next couple of weeks, just to give you guys a heads up, the next couple of weeks we're going to be doing a couple of more, probably like two, I'm going to say at least 2 to 3 more episodes, and these are going to be dealing with coaching, dealing with team dynamics and things like that. And so if that's something that you're interested in, something that you think someone else will be interested in, make sure you spread the word. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Don't forget to like, share, comment, subscribe, rate this podcast. And as always, always, always stay up. Take the path that's less traveled. Get 1% better each and every day. Just be consistent. And until next time, be legendary.